Adam.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court, for the record, my name is Greg Miller. I'm representing the Seattle Housing Authority. With me at council table is Mr. Johnson, and we have Mr. Lobsons and Ms. Luke also with us on the briefing. I've handed up an exhibit.
Rebuttal time?
Oh, yes. I'd like to save 5 minutes for rebuttal. And if you'll indulge me, if I'll just try and make my first 3 points very quickly. We believe this case is resolved by plain meaning of the text and the undisputed fact that SHA was acting as a Section 8 administrator, not as a landlord, for the actions that are at issue. The unambiguous ordinance should be given a common sense reading, and subsection 040D only addresses landlords. This court's analysis in Swanson controls in terms of whether an underlying intent or a later intent may change the text of the statute. It cannot. I'd like you to take a look at the exhibit, and we've just highlighted the operative language in 1408-040D. And in the yellow, you can see that is what really is at issue here. This is what the hearing examiner said did apply to SHA when it is in its capacity of administering a Section 8 housing voucher. And we've briefed fairly in quite a bit of detail what a Section 8 housing voucher is. So I don't, unless the court asks questions, I'm not going to get into that at this point. But the point that we make here is that the accommodation provision, which is highlighted in yellow, only applies to landlords. And SHA was acting as the administrator. And the federal cases are cited to show what the distinction is between a housing authority, public housing authority, acting as a housing landlord versus acting as an administrator. They're different functions. They control different commodities, and they have different roles.
So do you think that the issue here is whether or not the Seattle Housing Authority was acting in its capacity as a landlord or not? Because if it was, then this code applies, and if it wasn't, then it doesn't.
Correct. If it was acting in its capacity as a landlord when it was administering and working with the housing voucher, then it would be subject to subsection D. But it was not.
If you're correct about the interpretation of this Seattle Municipal Code, in other words, if your position prevails, do you think that it is possible for the for Seattle to rewrite its code in such a way as to accomplish the objective that it has here, or is that something that you don't want to talk about or haven't thought about?
Well, Your Honor, I think that's a fair point. I think we did address it in some of the briefing. Of course, they could rewrite the code, just the way that they rewrote the code for the retaliation ordinance in the Swanson case. So they could add language there. They could add a new provision. They could say any person. There are a number of ways that the FHAA, as the federal cases show, are written more broadly, and other states have written it more broadly. So that's a change that could be made relatively simply.
So there's no preemption argument out there?
Well, no, there's not a preemption argument, Your Honor. In fact, as far as we're aware, they could have charged under the FHAA. And so that if they had done that, that might
they?
Be the city.
They could have.
They are the enforcement agency for the Housing and Urban Development Department.
I see. Hmm.
So they have the choice of what to charge. In fact, it's in the record. I don't have a spot site for you, but it is in the record, and I can get it if you like, where the matter went to the complaint was filed with HUD, and then they sent it to SOCR.
So this is a fairly narrow little case that we have here.
It is, but it does affect what are the statutes, what are the rules that govern between SHA and under the Seattle anti-discrimination laws. And as we pointed out, SHA's mission is to provide as much housing for as many people as possible. And the voucher program is open to anybody who meets the financial requirements. That includes homeless people who don't have any housing. They certainly don't want to have an adjudication of being engaged in illegal discrimination. It's an important case for that reason as well. They want to do the right thing. They think they're doing the right thing. That's their mission, is to put as many people in as many clean,
but
safe
as possible. But if the code were rewritten, they would not have any problem complying with it. Is that
I don't think
saying?
So, Your Honor.
In other words, certainly the effect of this case in this particular one instance is that there's less housing available in a very minuscule way. I mean, because it's just one case. I mean, you will have a one-bedroom apartment that's not available for a larger family.
For somebody who's already outside of public housing and trying to get into that.
But that could be the outcome. Under a proper ordinance would be your position.
The proper outcome would be. I just want to make sure I understand you, Your Honor.
The outcome desired in this case, that a disability accommodation could be made in such a way that allows a single person to occupy a one-bedroom home that would otherwise be available for a larger family.
If the test for an accommodation were made, for instance, one example might be somebody who has to have a live-in aid. Another example might be.
Right, but I mean, we have this case here, which, right. I mean, I don't see you attacking this decision on the merits.
No, we said, we said the statute doesn't apply. The ordinance doesn't apply.
Okay.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Good morning. May it please the Court. Sarah O'Connor Chris here for the City of Seattle.
Have you changed the ordinance?
We have not changed the ordinance. And
usually that goes faster than getting here.
We could change the ordinance, but our position is that it doesn't need to be changed because on a plain reading, as SHA asks us to do, they are the landlord. They are both landlord and administrator here, and we don't need to go any further. It's undisputed that Ms. Yudzenka resides in a building owned and managed by SHA.
Currently she resides in a building managed by SHA.
Correct.
But she's trying to get into private housing.
Correct.
And SHA wouldn't be the landlord in the private housing.
Right. But right now, SHA is wearing both of those hats. As a single public corporate entity, it may have different roles. That is not disputed. But it was her landlord at the time of the denial of the request. And because of that, she's been prevented from using the voucher for over 4 years. Both the hearing examiner and the King County Superior Court judge concluded that under 040D, under these facts, in this particular context, it applies to the Seattle Housing Authority. It's unchallenged that Ms. Yudzenka is disabled and that her accommodation request is necessary and reasonable. SHA has abandoned its arguments on the merits of the request denial and is only asking one question, as if 040D applies to it as a landlord. It does. The statute is, the ordinance is very clear, and they are undisputedly the landlord. They're saying they're acting in a particular capacity, and the Superior Court that question.
If she was in a private facility at present in a studio, and they declined to give her a voucher for a one-bedroom, you would be taking the position that they were not the landlord when it's private to private.
So
clearly, if she was in their housing and applying for an upgrade within their controlled housing where their landlord,
correct,
the act applies. So if it's private, doesn't apply.
No. However, in this particular context, because SHA is indeed the landlord.
So you said you agree with me, it would not apply if it was private.
It would. It would apply in this context. This is
this example is that she's living in a private studio apartment.
Right.
All right. And her disability becomes apparent, and she asks SHA
Seattle Housing Authority is acting only as an administrator, and that is his only relationship to Ms. Yudzenka. I say we don't need to reach that issue because those are not the facts before the court. However, it helps if the court entertains that. That has been answered by the underlying superior court adopting the city's statutory interpretation that a broad liberal construction of that term to incorporate an administrator is appropriate given the purpose and spirit of this ordinance. The SHA's reading leads to several absurd results, including an entire subset of disabled voucher holders who have no recourse under the city's anti-discrimination law, which is certainly not giving effect to the legislative intent of this
council ordinance. Just argued that you could have approached this through the FHA, a suit.
Right. And there was also a question about preemption. One of the other absurd results, although the SHA does not challenge the validity of the ordinance, is that it would, with their reading, conflict with both state and federal law, which requires a reasonable accommodation in order to, if it's necessary, for the equal access and use of a dwelling. And that is the same language that is in our ordinance. Seattle Housing Authority is really caught up with the fact that there's the term landlord. However, the underlying argument that they make is that they don't provide a dwelling because that is what the plain meaning of a landlord is.
I don't think you've responded to my question in a way that I can process. My question is goes back to what counsel said in that, okay, their argument has to do with the plain language of this ordinance, but you said that this is, you know, this is the only possibility for relief. However, they said, to sue under the city, it's a municipal court.
Right.
They say that you could have brought a suit and potentially been successful without having to get into this argument if you had sued under the FHA. Is that true or not in your view?
I think I think that could be true, yes. But I don't think we have to reach that issue because we went under the ordinance and they are a landlord and they
deny. But if it's true, then it defeats your argument that this was the only possible way of getting a one-bedroom apartment for this person.
I'm not sure what you're referring to, but to the extent that as an administrator, they are the only ones with the authority to make that kind of accommodation, to change the voucher size.
Well, if told to by a lawsuit that you had brought through the FHA, then they would do it.
Right. And so that is the absurd result that we're getting at.
Why is that absurd? I mean, in other words, if you have a disabled person and you're trying to get them an accommodation, you, the city of Seattle, and one way to go is a kind of a dicey way through the Seattle Municipal Code because there's a, let's face it, a reasonable dispute about the language of the statute. It's not a slam dunk from your position. You know, from your or the other way is to go through the FHA,
right?
A lawsuit and that is more reflective of your position and might get your person into housing quicker.
Right, and we don't have Washington law that is on point for this, but I think the federal cases interpreting under Fair Housing Act provide guidance here, and we reach the same conclusion. I realize
that's what you think. I'm just trying to make the point that it's not, you know, you did have another way to go. So when you're saying this would be absurd because this is the only possible way this person could have been helped, that is actually not a true statement. So you can move on to another argument. I'm just trying to get that one out of the way.
Correct.
I think that one's right. So
correct.
Maybe you got a different one.
So, but I think we just need to back up that we don't need to go there. They are the landlord, and under a plain reading, taking the dictionary definition that SHA is requesting us to adopt, they denied a medically necessary accommodation to a disabled person. They have violated this ordinance, and this should be affirmed. The underlying court, although the city did not ask for it, Seattle Housing Authority was asking, well, what if we're just acting in our position as an administrator? Don't have to go there, but if you do entertain that, nonetheless, our statutory interpretation arguments were adopted by the Superior Court, and they promote and give effect to the legislative intent, notwithstanding the Fair Housing Act. This is what the intent of this ordinance was, to leave an entire body of folks Council mentions that live-in aides is another type of accommodation, a utility or a voucher payment adjustment based on disability. These are entire body of accommodations that Seattle Housing Authority is saying they can lawfully discriminate against, whereas if they were doing it with the cap of a landlord, they could not.
Well, that would be because in their landlord cap, they were violating the law directly, but in their administrator's position, they have a different role.
That
in the policy you're seeking to have enforced here is that an administrator of a reimbursement program or voucher program is subject to the law as if it were the landlord in every case.
Right, because both SHA is in a position under either role to deny use and access to a dwelling. That is undisputed. Federal cases have shown it's of the effect of denying brick-and-mortar housing if you deny a voucher, because the access to the housing, they're right there. So it's an analogous argument that has been accepted by the federal court, where housing authorities, just like SHA, have argued, we don't provide dwellings, this doesn't affect us. It's been struck.
And she's been denied for 4 years?
The voucher was issued in July of 2013. And so we have been, for 4 years, she has not been able to have this.
And she's had the medical request for accommodation for the whole 4 years?
Well, if you're asking if she remains disabled, I think...
No, when the doctor issued the medical determination that she needed an accommodation, mm-hmm. that was 4 years ago.
Yes. That was presented at the time of the denial, when SHA was saying it wasn't reasonable, which is something that's not before the court.
And the city has not enacted a clarification of the ordinance that would get her into that housing immediately?
I think that SHA
my jaw drops.
But I think that SHA would argue that the ordinance at the time is what we're looking at, and they would still argue nonetheless they don't have to accommodate.
She could reapply.
That.
Thank you.
I just want to make a couple of points, and then any questions that the panel may have. SHA does not say that it can violate the Seattle Municipal Code, and does not believe that it has. But it wanted to get an answer on the application of this ordinance. That's why we're here, because we don't think that it applies. She was issued the voucher. She had the opportunity to use
an ordinance apply.
Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely. And I think if you take a look at the federal cases that were just argued, they're saying that those apply and they – but you have to charge under the statutes, under the FHA or some of the other cases, which were from Arizona and from Minnesota. They had both. They were charged under both. Broader language, different language. You two are good legislators. You know that you have to say what you mean in the legislation. You can't fill in the gaps later. Once you take the role, that doesn't work that way.
Why are we here? Everybody agrees that the woman has a disability, that it can't be accommodated unless the housing authority accepts the voucher. You agree they could amend the ordinance and it would clearly apply. You dispute whether it currently applies. It's beyond me why they haven't moved forward, and it just seems like this is a woefully inappropriate way to solve a person's disability.
She's currently in a one-bedroom apartment, Your Honor.
Public housing.
Yes. She has been and still is in a one-bedroom. So she's not
excellent
in an undersized apartment from her perspective.
But she's being prevented from getting into private.
She was issued the voucher, and she could choose to go and explore and try and find what she could find.
But the voucher was for a studio.
And the voucher
her disability exists. That's not challenged.
again, it helps to understand the voucher program. The voucher is basically an allowance of money to pay towards your rent. So it doesn't say you can only apply this to a studio, you can only apply this to a one-bedroom. You go out and find
people. I don't think that the way that this case has been presented that we can get into that, because that goes into whether, you know, there might be a studio that is okay, but, you know, from the standpoint of disability law, that's still a failure to make an accommodation. You know, there might be, but there might not be. And we're not, we don't have a record to decide whether it's likely or not.
Correct.
So, I mean, we have to assume that, you know, if it's a pretty narrow issue. If you are the landlord, then the Superior Court is correct. That's it. You know, if you're the landlord, you failed to make a reasonable accommodation. If you're not the landlord, then you didn't.
Correct. So, that's correct, Your Honor.
I mean, they're basically saying, okay, I mean, it gets down to I can understand why Judge Applewick is making the comment, because, I mean, it seems as if the case is here it's dedicated to people who really get into statutory construction for its own sake, which I doubt is true of any of us, you know, I mean, including you or the Seattle Housing Authority or the Seattle City Council. I mean, so you did or did not, you are or are not entitled to wear two hats. I mean, the city's position is you're always wearing the landlord hat, you know, no matter what you do. And your position is we're only wearing the landlord hat sometimes. And, you know, but what else is going on here? I mean, why do we? Judge Applewick's point is why does this have to, why?
It is.
Why?
The record that we have, Your Honor, she's in a one bedroom right now. She's not been pushed out of a one bedroom. She's the statute, the ordinance needs to be determined as to how it applies or doesn't apply. That's the position of the Seattle Housing Authority. I would just like to remind the court, we've briefed it, but I just want to give a very quick reminder that when you look at the structure of 1408, the entire chapter, 040, and all their subsections, subsection A says any person, and then all of the rest are very specific.
True.
And so that's why you're limited to landlord. And a genuine landlord who can actually deal with changes to the facility in which the person is a tenant. We would ask the court to reverse and vacate, and similar to what was done forgetting my favorite case, Swanson case. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Counsel.